And we're holding on page Yud Beis in Bava Kamma, Ois Chof Zayin. We started learning yesterday about boishes, one of the five payments that a person may have to pay if he injured or harmed somebody else. Is boishes the payment for the humiliation that he caused him? These kinds of things, by the way, you can have where there can be only one or only another, depending on the circumstances. Here, for example, say somebody, as example that it gives in the Mishnah, let's say, for example, somebody pulls somebody else's clothing off. There's no nezek, there's no tsar, etc., but there's only boshes. So we were talking about how we evaluate boshes, and the Mishnah mentions there are categories of people who are not subject to boshes. For example, avodim, a person does boshes to somebody else's eved knani, then he would be potter because an eved is basically used to being humiliated and treated disrespectfully, and therefore he's not really going to feel boshes. So the Gemara brings Rabbi Yehuda has a number of statements in that connection about a blind person. Is he subject to boshes? So the Gemara brings a few of them back to back. Here the Gemara focuses on one particular statement of Rabbi Yehuda's. Tanya idach, Rabbi Yehuda omer, suma ein loy boshes. Rabbi Yehuda says that a blind person does not have boshes because he can't see. So Rashi explains actually that what it means is ein loy boshes would mean the other way around. If a blind person causes somebody else boshes, then he would be potter. Because the pashtus, he can't see what he's doing, and therefore, like, you can't hold him responsible for it. So the Gemara, again, had gone through a few different statements. One where Rabbi Yehuda says that he's potter from that, and also from something else, and so forth, and now you have V'chein hoyer Rabbi Yehuda, potter, and we call mitzvahs hamuras v'torah. Rabbi Yehuda would go further and say that a blind person is potter from all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Now, there's a considerable amount of discussion what he means when he says all the mitzvahs. Does he mean literally all the mitzvahs I say and lo yisaseh? Tosfos seems to take it in that sense, because they say that it means that, no, what are you going to say then? He has no connection to Yiddishkeit. He'd be chayiv in the mitzvahs derabanan, says Tosfos, just not deraisa. But there are different other explanations. Maybe it only applies to the mitzvahs I say, and so forth. So Amar of Shisha, now the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, but this is his opinion. Amar of Shisha Bereidin of Idi, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that? What does being blind have to do with being potter from mitzvahs? Amar Kra, because the pasuk says Eilah haMitzvahs vaChukim vaMishpatim. These are the mitzvahs and the laws and the judgments. Or maybe a different pasuk, v'zoyis hamitzvah chukim v'mishpatim. Whatever the case, there are psukim that put all those things together. Kol sheyeshnim v'mishpatim, yeshnim v'mitzvahs v'chukim. Now, so therefore, we learn from that, says Rabbi Yehuda, anybody who's included in the concept of mishpatim is also subject to mitzvahs and chukim. But earlier in a part of the Gemara, which wasn't here in Ein Yaakov, Rabbi Yehuda had said that a blind person is not able to serve on a base team. You can't serve for dinin or farshas. Everybody agrees to that. But Rabbi Yehuda says you can't even serve for dinin mominus either. So only if a person is in the category of people who are bound by mishpatim, yeshna b'mitzvahs v'chukim, then he's also bound by mitzvahs v'chukim. V'chol she'ene b'mishpatim, if he's not capable of serving in connection with mishpatim, ene b'mitzvahs v'chukim, then he wouldn't be liable to mitzvahs and chukim either. Again, maybe all the mitzvahs, maybe only some of them. Whatever, that's where Rabbi Yehuda says that he's potter. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Meresh Habamina, I used to say, Man de Omer Halacha Kerab Yehuda, do Amar Suma Potter Min HaMitzvahs, I used to say that if somebody were to tell me that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that was saying that a blind person is Potter from Mitzvahs, and Rabbi Yosef himself was blind, so then he says, originally I thought, if somebody told me that is in fact the Halacha, Ka Avidna Yoyma Tova L'Rabbanan, then I would make a Yom Tov, I would make a Suda for the Chachamim in gratitude to Hashem. My time, D'loy Mafkadina V'Ka Avidna, because here I'm not commanded to do the Mitzvahs, or at least not some of them, and I'm V'Ka Avidna Mitzvahs, and I'm doing them anyway. So I would be very grateful that Hashem gave me that opportunity by making me blind, and therefore I would be celebrating it together with all the Chachamim. But, says Rabbi Yosef, now that I've heard the statements of Rabbi Chanina, on the contrary, somebody who's commanded to do mitzvahs is greater than somebody who's not commanded to do them, And that for a variety of reasons, which we'll talk about in a second. So then Rabbi Yosef says, Man Domali ain't Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. So now if somebody tells me the Halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, and I mean by default it would be anyway, because usually the Halacha is like the Chachamim, but having said if the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, then he just says the other way around, and if I were told the Halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. But no, he means that as it is, because the Halacha is like the Chachamim, Avidna Yoma Tova L'Rabbanan, now I'm going to celebrate with the Chachamim that the Halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. My time, Kimach Gidna Isli Agrafe, because now when I'm commanded, I have a much greater schar for mitzvahs, and therefore I'm happy to have that opportunity, and that's something to celebrate. That in fact, blind or not, I'm still equally chayav in mitzvahs as everybody else. Why is it that a person who's mitzvah v'oise is greater? So there's a lot of different reasons. Tosfos, this gemara is also in Kiddushin. Tosfos explains that the reason is because a person who's mitzvah v'oseh, he has more reason to be concerned always, am I doing the mitzvah right? As opposed to any mitzvah v'oseh, he's doing it only voluntarily anyway, so he doesn't feel that pressure. Listen, if I don't want to do it, I don't have to do it anyway. So there, and it's that feeling of I have to be careful with it, that itself deserves a greater schar, that daiga. Another point is also that a person who's mitzvah v'oseh has a greater yetzahara. And there's a lot of other different reasons that are brought, including apichsidus. The idea is that a mitzvah is moshen sabse v'chibra. We're connecting with Eivishter. So when it's a mitzvah that comes from Hashem, then a person is able with that to reach the highest levels, reach all the way up to atzmus. As opposed to when he's any mitzvah voice, then he's doing it voluntarily, very nice, but it's still only the actions of a boss of a dumb, and there's only so high that it can reach. That's it. Connects with this week's parasha. That's true. Thank you. That Avram didn't have a bris milah until Hashem told him to. Yeah, because he wanted the advantage of mitzvah voice and bris milah. After all, is going to be a one time in his lifetime thing, right? Yeah. Thank you. Further on, the Mishnah goes on to describe various kinds of boshes and the amounts that you pay. There are certain kinds of boshes that a person does to somebody else where the Chachamim established a fixed amount that you have to pay. And as we learned yesterday, it may further depend within that on their respective social standing, but basically these are the amounts. Among them is if a person uncovers a married woman's hair, and of course she has to keep it covered, then for that boshes he has to pay her 400 zuz. To give you an idea, in those times, so a person that has 200 zuz is not considered poor in halacha, and 200 zuz was the amount that a person would be able to live on for a year. So 400 zuz, you're talking a fairly large amount of money. So the Mishnah says, "Ma'aseh be'echad shepara roshe isha b'shuk." It happened once that a man did that. He uncovered a woman's hair in the street. Bos lifnei Rabbi Akiva, so she came for din Torah to Rabbi Akiva. V'chivir litnotaf zuz, and he obligated him to give her 400 zuz because that's the amount that it says. Omalei, so the man says, "Rebbe ken li zman." Rebbe, give me time. I can't pay it right away. So set up a time. A deadline by which I have to pay. The Nosson Loisman said, Rabbi Akiva tells him, fine, you have until such and such a date. Now, the guy wants to get out of paying. Shomra, Oymedes al Pesach Chatzera. So he started waiting and watching until he sees, al Pesach Chatzera, until he says, so one day he sees her standing by the entrance of her chatzer. The Shibir as a kadra for now. He had with him a jug of oil. He broke the jug in front of her. Uboyke iser shemen. The jug contained a small amount of oil, the amount that you could buy with an iser. She didn't want it to go to waste. Gilsa esrosha. So she took off her, she uncovered her hair. She took off her tichel or sheitel or whatever. Vahusama tapachas manachas yada al rosha. She was then taking, with her hand, And putting it on her head, like she would take some of it, dip it into the puddle of oil over there, and put it on her head, and repeat, and why should the oil go to waste? The hamidallah edim. So the guy made sure to have edim present, ubalifnei Rabbi Akiva, and then he comes to Rabbi Akiva with an argument. Omalei says, lazuani noisin dalad mezuz. You expecting me to pay 400 zuz to her for her boshes because I uncovered her hair? Here she uncovered it on her. She uncovered it on her own in order to put the oil on her hair. Omalei, so Rabbi Akiva says, lo yamar t'klum. What you said doesn't count for anything. You still chayev to pay the 400. The fact remains, achoyvo ba'atzmai, for example, if a person injures himself, apopi she'en rashoi, even though it is true he's not allowed to, as the Gemara is going to explain, potter, nevertheless, he's potter from any payment or any consequences for it. Acherim shechov leboy chayoven, and yet if somebody else injures him, then they're going to be chayev. So the same way, she chose to uncover her hair. That's wrong of her, but it doesn't mean that you're potter for the time that you did it to embarrass her. One point is, I mean, she was al pesach chatzera, which is a more semi-private area anyhow. So therefore, that's, you know, Mela, she went in the street and uncovered her hair, then that might be more of an argument. But here, where it was by the entrance of her chatzer, then it's less of a thing.
Okay.
So the Gemara discusses man tana de shamat le doma einonim rashoy lechavol ba'atzmai. So which tana do we find says such a thing that a person is not allowed to injure himself? Because here Rabbi Akiva is saying achoy ba'atzmai afal pisha einon rashoy poter. So Rabbi Akiva is saying a person is not allowed to injure himself. Which tana do we find explicitly saying such a thing? Well, maybe chayv in dinei shamayim, but that's the point. We're saying einan rashoi, he's not allowed to up here locha. So which tana says such a thing? So ilei mahai tanahu. Are you going to say it's the following tana, the tanya? The pasuk says Hashem says to Noach, v'achas dimchem l'nafshei seichem edrash. However, your blood from your own souls, from your own lives, I will seek it out. So in other words, if a person, if a person, Rahman al-Fan, commits suicide, Rebel Yezer Oyma Miyad Nafshisechem, Edrish is Dimchem, it means from your own life, Hashem says, I will demand for punishment for your own blood. So if a person commits suicide, Rahman al-Fan, then he's punishable for it. Elsewhere, by the way, it talks about, you have rare exceptions to that. You have, for example, Shaul, when the Plishtim were about to capture him, and Shaul and Shimshin were also with the Plishtim, and a few other examples here and there. Those are the special considerations why they were afraid they're going to be tortured or various other explanations. But ordinarily, a person is not allowed to do that. So therefore, so you could say, Rabbi Yezir says, the same way as he's not allowed to kill himself, he's not allowed to injure himself. The Gemara says, what kind of a comparison is that? Sure, a person is not allowed to kill himself. That doesn't mean that he's not allowed to injure himself in a way that doesn't amount to that. Ela Haitana. Rather, we're going to say that it's the following Tanya. The Tanya, Mekarin al Ames, a person rips his clothes when his relative passes away. Veloy midarchei hamori. It's not considered darchei hamori. It's not considered a goyish, a superstitious kind of thing to do. Adarabi, you have a mitzvah of kriya, as we find in a number of places in Tanakh, and it's a halacha. A person has to tear kriya. Omer Abba Lazar. However, Rabbi Elazar says, Shamaiti, I've heard from my Rabbeim, Shamakarei ala mes yosemidai, that if a person does too much of that, too much kriya for a relative who died, loika mishum baltashris, then he gets malchus for violating baltashris. And then you would say, if Rabbi Elazar says, even his clothing, how much more so if he injures and harms his own body? So you would say, there is a Tana who we see says this concept that a person is not allowed to do that.
What do you mean?
If he's saying a person is not even allowed to rip his clothes more than necessary, you have the amount that a person is supposed to tear for kriya, but he's not, you shouldn't be going and just indiscriminately ripping his clothes. And Rebbe also says that if he does, he's chayev malchus for being over. The Torah tells us, lois sashkus es etza, don't destroy the fruit trees around a besieged city, and we learn from that anything useful, you're not allowed to destroy. So therefore, you could say that Rebbe Lazar is the Tana who says that we can learn from this pasuk that a person is not allowed to destroy his own body. The problem with that is, on the contrary, you could argue that clothing is different because it's a loss that won't go back. A person injures his body, it will heal. We're talking about at least a minor injury, as opposed to clothing. If they get ripped, they're never gonna. You can sew them, but they're not gonna get sewn up spontaneously. We find that Rabbi Yochanan would call his clothes my honorers. So he realized, so he recognized the importance that clothing is in a way even more important than a person's own body. Eitz Yosef brings over here from Sheiltis that it means particularly his Shabbos clothes, his regular clothes, maybe not, but Shabbos, where it says v'chibadtoi, then those particularly a mechabduse, the things that give him honor. And we find another example of Rav Chista, Adav Maski Beni Hizmi Vihigi. We find that when Rav Chista was walking in an area with thorns and thistles, madly lahu the money, he would lift up, he would hitch up his clothing so it doesn't get caught in the thorns. Omar, he would say, so then doesn't that mean that his legs are going to get scratched? He would say, Zemala arucha, zeinemala arucha. The difference is my legs get scratched, they'll heal eventually, but the clothing is not going to heal. We find in the Gemara Tainis something similar, something very, the identical thing with Abba Chilkia, a grandson of Choni Amagel, same thing. He was a poor laborer in the field. The Chum came to him one time to ask him to daven for rain. And this was one of the things that when he's walking home with them and then passes through an area of thorns, he hitched up his clothes and let his legs get scratched up. And later on, he explained to them the same thing. Habona on the bottom of the page over here connects this with we know that it says that tzaddikim monim chovim aleim yosim gufan, that a tzaddik, because he earns every penny that he has honestly, therefore his mammon is in a way more precious to him than his own body. So we see that Abba Chilkiah and Rav Chista behaved in that way, where they said their clothing that they bought with their money is in a way more important to them than their physical discomfort, and therefore it's worth it getting scratched as long as their clothes stay intact. Anyway, so you could say based on that, that just the opposite. The fact that Rav Elazar is saying a person rips his clothes, where once he rips them, they're going to stay ripped, then he's saying that a person is over on Baltashkis for that. That doesn't show that a person is over on Baltashkis if he damages his own body, which is going to heal. Erahai Tanahu. Rather, we have to say the Tanahu who says this concept that a person is not allowed to injure himself is the following Tanahu. The Tanya, Omer Rabbi Elazar Akapa Beribi. Rabbi Elazar Akapa Beribi says, Beribi doesn't mean the son of Ribi, it means the great Tamad Chacham, the preeminent Tamad Chacham of his generation. Anyway, he says, Ma Tamad Loimar, what does it mean when the Pasuk says about a Nazir, specifically by a Nazir Tomei, who has to bring his Korbanos and then start his Nazirus over again, the Pasuk says, V'chiper Olav Me'asher Chota Al HaNofesh. The Kohen should accomplish a kapara for him for that he sinned against the soul. Now, Poshet Pshat, you would say it means because he became Tomei. That's why he's having to bring these Korbanos and start over in his Nazirus. But the Rabbi Elazar HaKapper is taking it in a different way. What soul did this person sin with or against? It's that he troubled himself and denied himself wine. So Valoy Dvarim Kavachoimer, so then Rabbi Elazar HaKapper said, and therefore the Pasuk is calling that Chot Al HaNofesh, and saying that therefore he's bringing among his Korbanos, then he brings a Chatas. So Valoy Dvarim Kavachoimer, so now Rabbi Elazar HaKapper says we can make a Kavachoimer. Uma Zeshle Tzir Atzma Elamin Ayayin Nikra Choyte Madach, this person that troubled himself and denied himself only wine, and for that the Torah calls him a sinner and makes him bring a chatas, Hamatzar Atzma called Dava Allah Has Kama Kama. How much more so a person troubles himself and deprives himself of other things, of all kinds of other things. So like, for example, elsewhere in Shas, Rabbi Elazar HaKapper applies this, for example, to a person who fasts. So we see there, Rabbi Elazar HaKapper holds that a person is not allowed to do anything that's going to weaken or harm or damage his body. And if he does, then he's called a choyte. So Rabbi Akiva then in turn is basing himself on that when he says to this guy in the Mishnah with the story with the oil, that even though a person is not allowed to do that, nevertheless he's potter, but the same person does it and somebody else does it to the same person, he's going to be chayev, and the same thing with you and this woman and the oil. It happened in other places. The Gemara brings other opinions against Rabbi Elazar HaKapper, that on the contrary, the Nazir is called a Kodesh. And the Gemara elsewhere talks about it depends whether he's able to tolerate, whether his body is able to tolerate the deprivation from wine or the fasting or other things. Okay, further on, so as we mentioned Baltashkis, we mentioned about not cutting down trees, so now the Gemara continues in this vein, talking about the dinim of cutting down fruit trees. Omer Rab, Dikla the Toyin Kaba, a palm tree that bears a cab of dates. Also the mitzvah say that you're not allowed to chop it down. That would be included in what the Pasuk is saying, that you're not allowed to chop down a fruit tree. So the Gemara says, Mesi, I have a contradiction. So you're telling me you need as much as a calf. Kama yehei bezayis v'lo yikatsenu. How much fruit does an olive tree have to be bearing in order for it to be also to cut it down? Roiva, a quarter of a calf. And the Gemara assumes that it would be the same across all trees. Why should it be different? And the answer is Chinese ace and Dach Shivi. There is, in fact, a difference. Olives are more important. They're more expensive. They're more valuable. And therefore, even a quarter of a cab of olives is significant enough that you can't cut down the tree. But dates are cheaper. And therefore, the tree needs to be bearing a whole cab in order to do that. In order to be not allowed to do that, that is. And the Gemara continues, Omer Rav Chanina, Loi Shiv Shivcha Bri, my son Shivcha did not pass away, Ella, the only reason was to cut Tein Nasa B'loi Zimna, because he chopped down a fig tree when it wasn't the right time because the fig tree was still bearing fruit, and he chopped it down. One explanation, by the way, is that Shivcha means is his name, and Bri means my son. There's another explanation that he's talking about somebody else, not his own son, but somebody by the name of Shivcha Bri. Where Rav Chanina is saying, I know that he didn't deserve to die for anything else, only because of that. There are, by the way, here the Gemara is going to give various cases where you are allowed to chop down a tree. We may assume that Shivcha probably followed those rules as well. Nevertheless, based on this Gemara, it comes out that even then there can be a danger in doing it, even when it is technically mutar al pi halacha. So the Achronim talk about different rules in that regard, even in the cases, as the Gemara is going to say, where you are allowed to chop it down. If it's in the way, or if there's other things that are more valuable that you want to plant there instead, so you're technically allowed to, but even so, based on this, it comes out that there may be a danger involved. So in practice, if a person has a fruit tree on their property and they want to cut it down or cut it back or whatever, in practice they should ask a rav what they can do and what they can't do. In some cases, you can uproot the tree and transplant it someplace else, and then there's different other possibilities. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav, v'im hoyim ula bedamim mutar. However, if the wood of the tree is worth more than the fruit. If the wood of the tree is worth more than the fruit, then you are allowed to chop it down. And the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi. In fact, we learn like that in the Braisa. When the Pasuk says, where's the source of not cutting down trees, is from the Pasuk about a siege. Right, the Pasuk says that you're not allowed to chop down the trees. L'sashka says Eitza. But then the Pasuk continues, Rak Eitza Asher L'Seida. However, now the Pasuk says, Rak Eitza Asher L'Seida Asher Teida Ki Eit Kilo Eitz Machol Hu. The Pasuk says, however, a tree that you know that it's not a fruit tree. Now that, the Pasuk says, you're allowed to chop down. So, the Braisa says, Rak Eitz Asher Teida, we break up that phrase. When we say a tree that you know, now what does it need to say? You don't need to know, you look at it, whether it's a fruit tree or not. So when it says, Asher Teida, Ze'ilon Michael, that refers to a tree that does produce fruit. So you know that it produces fruit, and nevertheless there are cases where you're allowed to chop it down. Kilo Eitz Michael Hu, when the pasuk continues, you know that it's not a tree that bears fruit. Ze'ilon Srak, that refers to a non-fruit bearing tree. So it comes out then by darshaning it that way that you're allowed to cut down both types. So for the Rabbis called Dover, well, if we're including both of them, then why does the Pasuk mention that it's not a fruit tree, implying that it's only non-fruit trees that you can cut down? The reason is v'hakim srak l'maychol. That means if you have a choice which one to cut down, then cut down the non-fruit-bearing tree one. Yochol afilu ma'ula b'domim. Now you would think that applies even if the wood is worth more. Tamad lamer rak. That is why the pasuk says rak eitz asher l'teida. So in other words, it comes out there are cases where you are allowed to cut down a fruit tree. However, you should always give preference to first cutting down a non-fruit bearing tree if you can help it. But there are cases where you could cut down a fruit bearing one. In this example, ma'ula b'domim, where the wood is worth more than the tree, is one of them. Maharsha, by the way, brings in a nice drosha on this. By the Chet Eitz Hadas, the Nochash is trying to convince Chava, and he says, "Afki Omar Avakim." He says, "Has Hashem really said, Loi Soichu Mikol Eitz Hagan? Don't eat from any of the trees in the garden." Why does he use the word Eitz over there? Loi Soichu Mikol Peiros Hagan or something. So the idea is that the So there's different opinions what the fruit from the Eitz Hadas was, and one opinion that it was an esrog. The Gemara elsewhere says in Sukkah that an esrog, the wood and the fruit taste the same, because you have most of an esrog is the thick rind, and that has basically the same taste as the wood. There's very little, if any, pulp inside an esrog. So he's saying to her that no, actually, does it. So he's arguing. Maybe it means that Hashem said you can't eat from any of the wood of the trees. And she says, no, Hashem is telling us we can't eat from the fruit of the trees. So then, by Yomar Nachash al-Isha, he tells her, he tries to convince her based on this piece of Gemara, no, it really is only the wood. You know why? Because you're saying over here that a fruit tree, that person chops down a fruit tree, then he's over an Aveira, and he can die young for it, like Shivchas did. But there's nothing wrong with eating the fruit, just as there isn't in future generations, and eating fruit. And with that, he was able to convince her to actually eat from the fruit. I said, like he took this din, in other words, of not chopping down a fruit tree, and twisted it to his ends to use it to convince her that there's no problem eating the fruit, and the only issue is chopping down the tree for its wood. Okay, so the Gemara gives more examples of this kind of thing, of when you're allowed to chop down trees. Shmuel, Isilei Arisei Tamri. One time, Shmuel's Oris, and Oris is a sharecropper who works the fields or the orchards or whatever, and then pays, he gets paid in a percentage of the crop. So his artist brought him tamri, brought him dates from a palm tree that Shmuel owned. Ochel, he ate some of the dates. Toim bohu taima dechamra, and he tasted in them a taste of wine. Omalei maihai, so he asks the artist, what's going on over here? Why do these dates taste like this? Omalei tells him bene gufni taimi, because these palm trees from which these dates come are growing among the grapevines. Which, by the way, there's no issue of kelaim in it. The kelaim is grain or vegetables with grapes. So no, there's no issue whatsoever with trees together with grapes. Yeah, there's no issue whatsoever. With trees, the only thing that's also is cross grafting them, taking a branch from one and grafting it onto another. That's not the case here.
There's something in the Rambam saying that nothing should be growing in between the.
That's as far as grain or vegetables.
Yeah. Grain and vegetables. But that trees is a.
Trees is not in that category, right? Okay, so the trees are growing among the grapevines, and therefore they're absorbing some of the nutrients and some of the flavor from the grapevines. Omar, so Shmuel says, Machashi b'chamra kulahai. So that means then that these dates must be weakening the grapevines tremendously. If they're drawing off so much nutrients from them that now there's a taste of the grapes in the dates, then it means the other way around. It means the dates are harming the vines. L'mocher, so he tells his sharecropper, I want you to get rid of those trees. L'mocher aisili mekurayhu. Tomorrow I want you to bring me their root. In other words, I want you to uproot the trees and bring me their roots to show me that you did the job. That's Rashi's first explanation. Second explanation, Rashi says, is that the word is not mikaraihu, where the word comes from the word mokar, but rather mikaraihu, where the mem is the prefix from, and karaihu means the heart of palm. The heart of palm. Nowadays they grow palm trees specifically to harvest heart of palm from. But back then they didn't. If you wanted the heart of palm, basically you had to chop down the tree. It's where the future branches of the tree grow from. So he tells them, tomorrow I want you to bring me the heart of the palm. In other words, you're gonna have to chop down and remove the tree. And again, the same idea. In other words, because it's harming the vines that much. Another example, Rav Chista Chozef Toli Begufni. Rav Chista also one time saw some date palms growing among the grapevines. Omele La'arise Akrinu, and again he tells his artists, uproot them. Gufni Koni Dikli, with the money that you get from the grapevines, from the wine, you're able to go and buy more land and buy palm trees. Dikli Le Koni Gufni, but the other way around, dates are cheap. You're never going to be able to earn enough money from selling dates to be able to buy grapevines. So again, in other words, the grapevines are more valuable, and therefore it's worth it removing the palms in order to make the grapes grow better and to have more room for them. Tosfos has a bit of discussion over here about this point that there are actually there are cases actually where palm trees, we find in other Gemaras, that there are places where it says that that palm trees are considered more valuable. But Tosfos points out the reason is because grapevines, you have to put in a lot more work into it. But when you do, then you get a much greater profit from it, more so than with palm trees. You don't have to do much work with them, but the value of the crop, the value of the dates is very little.
What? More wood in the palm.
There's more wood in the palm trees, of course. Right, that's true.
Is it wood or is it actual wood?
Palm trees are different than most kinds of trees in that they don't have growth wings. The wood of them is of a different consistency and it doesn't have growth wings in it. The Gemara elsewhere expresses it.
What?
What
is it useful for?
I don't know, but I'm sure there's uses for it. Elsewhere, the Gemara talks about the Gemara mentions that a palm tree has only lev echad, it has only one heart. First of all, in the sense it doesn't have branches, you know, you only have the branches that grow all the way at the top. It doesn't branch out as it grows upward like most other trees. But second of all, also this, that it doesn't have growth wings unlike most trees. It's all one solid thing, and therefore the Gemara mentions in Megillah it represents the Jewish people who have only lev echad, or have only one heart directed towards Hashem and don't have different other agendas. The Mishnah says, now, we're talking throughout this perek of the payments that a person has to make to somebody else, for Nezek and Tsar and so on and so forth, even though he pays him the actual money, still he won't be forgiven by Hashem until he asks mechila from the other person. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, we have next week's parasha when Avimelech kidnaps Sarah, and Hashem comes to Avimelech in a dream and tells him, "Va'ata hoshev eishes eish v'gomer." Now you have to return the man's wife, and the pasuk goes on to say that Abraham should daven for you. Yisfal badcha, he'll daven on your behalf, v'chiyeh, and then you'll live. So in other words, you have to ask him to daven on your behalf, and of course, if you're going to be asking him, then it means you're going to have to ask him for forgiveness. It's not going to be enough just to compensate him for what you took away from him. It continues the Mishnah. How do we know then that if the person who was injured does not forgive or harmed, does not forgive the other person, that he's considered cruel? Shenemar, as you have the pasuk, Vayispal Avraham, Alalakim, V'gomer, sure enough, Avraham Davin, on behalf of Avimelech, and Avimelech and company were healed, as the Gemara will explain what exactly they were suffering from. So we see that Avraham could have said, "This is such a terrible thing you did, I can't forgive you," but he didn't, he right away davened for him. The Gemara in Yoma discusses the details. You do have certain rare cases where a person is entitled to not be merciful to the person where he knows it's for the other person's benefit. It mentions over there a person asks somebody else for mechila. He has to take along with him three friends to help ask mechila, and he has to be willing to do that up to three times. And if it's Rebbe, then there's not even a limit of three times. He has to do it as many times as necessary. But all told, there are rules. It's not just a person is going to toss off and I'm sorry, and the other person is right away obligated to forgive him. But we're saying that there comes a point where if he doesn't, then he's considered achzori. So the Gemara says, turn it up on him. Call Elisha Omru Dmei Boshtai. Everything that we were talking about so far, the cases that a person has to pay somebody else, for example, for all the amounts that the Mishnah mentioned for Boshas, such as the one for uncovering a woman's hair and all the other ones, those are all he's paying him for the Boshas, the appropriate amounts that the Chachamim said to do. Abel Tsaroi, but his Tsar. Now, we don't mean Tsar in the sense of one of the five payments, where he was actually physically injured him or did something that caused him physical pain. He was talking about the mental pain, the mental anguish that he was embarrassed. So that, a filo hevi called Elin Voyas Shaba Olam, even if the person who did that were to bring all the Elin Voyas in the world. Elim are rams, and Elin Voyas are rams from Nevoyas. Nevoyas is the eldest son of Yishmael, and in his descendants, or the area where they lived, had particularly good quality rams. Elsewhere, in Menachos, the Gemara, the Mishnah says that the best rams would come from came from Moav, actually, so I guess Nevoyas lived in that area as well. You have the pasuk. The pasuk in Yeshaya mentions them as high quality rams. Eli Nevoyas Yeshor Sunach. When Moshiach comes, the rams of Nevoyas will be serving you and be brought as korbanos. I mean, that the goyim will be bringing the best animals to bring us korbanos. Anyway, so even if he brought all the Eli Nevoyas in the world, ein nimchaloi, he won't be forgiven. Adchi yivakash mimenu, unless, as the Mishnah had said, he asks him for mechila. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hoshev Eishes Eish Ki Navi Hu. Hashem says to Avimelech, return the man's wife because he's a Navi, v'yispala babcha, and he'll daven on your behalf. So we see that you have to ask him mechila in order that he'll daven for you. So now the Gemara, by the way, brings in a side point. Why does Hashem have to stress to Avimelech that Avraham is a Navi? Now, on Parshat Pshat, it actually explains on the Pasuk, it means, based on the Medrash, that Avimelech says, yeah, but what if Avram thinks that I actually violated her and he's not going to want to take her back? And Hashem says, don't worry, he's a Novi and he knows you weren't able to touch her. But now the Gemara is taking it in a different sense. The question is, Eishes Novi Boy Aduri, Eishes No Acher Le Boy Aduri, what is Hashem saying? What is Hashem saying? Because she's the wife of a Novi, you're obligated to return her. And if she wasn't the wife of a Novi, you wouldn't? What does that mean? Amr of Shmuel ben Achmini, Amr of Yonasan, no, that's not what the pasuk means. Hashiv Eishes Eish Mekol Makom. You have to return the man's wife regardless because she's not yours and you had no business taking her in the first place. But now let's go back to Hashem says, you were arguing when Avimelech has his dream that Hashem comes to him and tells him, yeah, you're going to die because of this woman that you kidnapped. And Avimelech is arguing back and forth about it with Hashem. So his argument was, Hagoy gam tzadik tarig, would you kill even an innocent nation? Like Rashi says on the pasuk, you just destroyed Sdoim and now you're about to do the same thing to us. So he continues, Haloi hu omali achoisi hi, didn't he say to me that she's my sister, vihi gamhi omra ochi hu, and she said he's my brother, so I thought there's nothing wrong. No, Hashem is answering, I'll answer that argument of yours by telling you Novi hu, Avraham is a Novi, Okvar Limid, he's already been teaching people. We often think of a Novi as somebody whose main job is to foretell the future. Really, a Novi is someone that comes from a word that means to speak. A Novi is a spokesman. He's a spokesman for Hashem. Often that means telling what's going to happen if they don't do tshuva, for example. But basically, a Novi is a spokesman for Hashem. Avraham has been a spokesman for many years, going around and teaching people about Hashem and about what Hashem expects from us. So he has been going around for many years and teaching. While Limid, he's been teaching for many years. When a guest comes to town, should people be asking him about, do you have what to eat and drink, and then offering him food and drink? Or should the first thing be to ask, well, who is this woman with you? Is she your wife? So Avraham has long since been teaching the proper thing. When a guest comes to town, the first thing is you make sure to provide for his needs. You know, instead of being nosy about who his wife is. You haven't learned that, so therefore, that's what I'm telling you. Avraham has been teaching that for years, and you, Avimelech, and all your people should have known that by now, and therefore, yes, I'm holding you responsible that you, not so much because you kidnapped her, but because you didn't ask the right questions, and instead you asked the wrong question to begin with, and that put you in this situation. So therefore, that's what he's saying, Kinovihu. But as far as that, you have to ask him mechila, and only then are you going to recover. This Gemara is also in Makkos, and there the Gemara has a different, there the Gemara phrases it a little differently. The expression there in the Gemara is, he's learned from you. Meaning, in other words, he realized from what you're asking, that you're asking about who this woman is, that you have bad intentions in mind, and therefore he realized, I better claim that she's my sister, because otherwise, like in this week's parasha, he's afraid that they'll kill her, that they'll kill him, in order to take her anyway. Hashem continues, don't ask him, is she your wife or your sister? Mikan, from here we can also learn, that a ben noyach can be executed by Beis Din, or in this case he can be punished by Hashem, when he violated one of his mitzvahs, because he could have learned, he should have known what's wrong and what's not wrong, and he didn't learn. In other words, he can't say ignorance is not an excuse. Because Hashem is telling him, you didn't know this point, you didn't pay attention to what Avraham has been teaching all these years, and therefore you're chayav nisa from that. So unlike by a yid, where you have the person can be a shoygig, he's not chayav nisa, by a goy you don't have that kind of shoygig. The most you have is, the concept of a shoygig by Bnei Noach is, for example, if he mixed up, let's say, two different women, one of them is his relative, and then one of them is his relative, or an Eishes Ish, or whatever, and the other one is not, and he didn't know at all that she's an Eishes Ish, but not where he could have learned how to behave, and he didn't, then he's still chayav for not doing the right thing. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with more about this. Or not tomorrow, we'll continue on Sunday, Best Hashem, rather, with talking about it, and then it'll have to be the parasha of the week to talk about what exactly were Avimelech and company suffering from anyway that Abraham had to daven for.
What is the
Chai Misa? We're saying, yeah, Hashem tells him, in Chai Misa, the Isha Shalakhta, you're going to die because of this woman that you kidnapped.
What about if you did it mistakenly with another woman else?
That's the thing. So the Rambam describes, let's say, for example, Ben Noyah doesn't know that a certain woman is, that doesn't know that this is that he thinks that this woman is a whatever. He mixes up two different women, let's say, then that can be called a shogeg. But if it's just that he didn't know that it's also to have relations with an Eshet Ish, then that's not an ignorance of law, not from Chorus, but Misa based in. A Ben Noyach is Chayiv Misa based in for violating any of his Shevet Mitzvahs. Yeah. Okay. We learned yesterday in Yom Mashiach Ugo'ola what the Rebbe had quoted about Kiddush Levana, that's Shehin HaSidin L'Schadish Kamoisa, and it's like when it's like welcoming the Shekhinah, because every time when we see the moon renewing, then it's a simon for us that we will also be renewed. So now the Rebbe continued in the Sicha Noyach Tovshin and Beis, the same thing. Based on that, when a person is making a cheshbon tzedek about the Geula, then that means one thing of it is that should express itself that he's extra careful and extra mahadir with Kiddush Levana. So first of all, it will mean to be careful to try to make an effort to do it in nice clothing, which is why we usually do it Matzah Shabbos, and to do it in the street, Beroivam Hadras Melech, even in places where maybe they weren't makbid on that. Let's say places where we live among the goyim, and we don't always assemble in the street for it, but we should do that. It also means being careful about the times for Kiddush Levana, the earliest and latest times. And most important of all, to do it with the kavana to actually to bring the coming of David Malcolm Mashiach much closer by demanding and then continue and even more demanding and when requesting for the Geula, as we say at the end of Kiddush Levana, O Victorious Hashem Alekeim, there's David Malcolm Amen. So that's the thought to bring into Kiddush Levana and to actually feel that and not just be saying off the words. Okay, continuing with halachas of Hashkamas HaBoker. So a side thing, the Alter Rebbe was pointing out, so he was talking about what is the time of Chatzos, how to define Chatzos, and the question is, if Chatzos is an Eis Rotzen, how do you have different ones in different places in the world? And the answer is because it comes from a place which is higher than time, it just comes down in each place according to the local clock. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say, as a side point, for the same reason you have that there's a higher kedusha in Chutz Laaretz on the second day of Yom Tov. Same idea. There's a kedusha milamayla that comes down in Eretz Yisrael in one day, and in Chutz Laaretz it takes 2 days for it to come down. Therefore, the Alter Rebbe says people from Eretz Yisrael who travel to Chutz Laaretz would have to keep 2 days Yom Tov, even if they plan to return home, as the Alter Rebbe says, as will be explained in Hilchos Yom Tov. Now we have Hilchos Yom Tov. The relevant siman, Tuf Tzadik Vav, we only have from the Alter Rebbe's Madura Kama of Shulchan Aruch. And there he doesn't mention this point. Here we're talking Madura Basra, which the Alter Rebbe had rewritten more Al Pi Kabbalah. So there's quite a bit of discussion of Ada Yemazel among Babacher Rabbanim. Do we actually follow what the Alter Rebbe is saying here? And therefore, Ben Eretz Yisrael, who comes to Chutz Laaretz, always keeps 2 days Yom Tov, regardless whether Daita locks her or not, and vice versa. Ben Chutz Laaretz, who comes to Eretz Yisrael, keeps only 1 day. Does the Alter Rebbe actually mean this? Halacha L'maisa? Or maybe not. There was an enormous amount of discussion about it. I think Ada Yemazeh, there were different opinions among the Babacher Rabbanim. A person who was in that situation goes to his shtosrov, such as Rabbi Ozdeba, and asks him in practice what to do. Moving on with another halacha back to Hashkamas HaBoker. It's good every day to say the Parashas HaAvakeda because that way we remember the schus of the others. It's also good to say the Parashas HaMon to have Bitochen and Hashem, that Hashem, just like Hashem gave them every day. So we don't actually have, the Alter Rebbe doesn't have the Parashas HaMon. There's a sicha where the Rebbe analyzes why that is, why we talk don't have this specific minig to say Parashas HaMon, and also Aseres HaDibros, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say, we should say that as well. The Gemara mentions that at one time they had an actual takana to say Aseres HaDibros every day. They stopped doing it because of minim who were claiming that the Aseres HaDibros is more important than the rest of the Torah. Nevertheless, here the Alter Rebbe is saying we should. In practice, the Alter Rebbe did not actually put it in the sicha. Yeah.